Well, again, let me say welcome to worship. Perhaps the center of our worship is when we pray together. We bring the joys and delights of our lives and the hurts and the hopes and the hard things. And we simply offer that all to God for His healing and for His help. Or for thanksgiving. So I invite you to, there'll be a time in the prayer where you can say something for which you're thankful or something for which we need to pray. We remember Patsy Kennedy and her family this week and the loss of her brother Kenny. I bid you pray for my dad. He has a number of health problems. He's in Birmingham, been in the hospital this week. We have had others that are in the midst of times of change in their lives, some glorious and wonderful and some awful and painful. So we would offer all of those. So let us pray together. Lord of life, God of mercy, giver of every good thing, we thank you for your constancy, for your faithfulness to us, even when we are not faithful to you. We confess the times we have neglected to notice your presence in our lives or to thank you for the good that comes our way. But all the ways we have neglected your Spirit. Lord, so we come now to open ourselves to you. To simply say thank you. Thank you for the gifts of this season, for times of travel and leisure and being with family, for playing together, for feasting together, for laughing together. We give thanks to you for presence which undergirds our lives and gives us a deep, profound security. And Lord, we pray for those for whom life is difficult these days. For those who seek to love and serve, and yet it's hard. We're unreciprocated. We pray for those who are close to the presence of death. Give them comfort and give them an assurance of life beyond this life. We pray for those whose work is difficult. We pray for those who seek work. We pray for all across this world, particularly in Norway, who suffer violence. Oh Lord, send your peace. We pray for those who serve the cause of peace and goodness across this creation of yours. We pray for the poor in their daily struggle. Oh Lord, unite people of goodwill to serve, to love them, your dear and favorite ones. Hear the prayers your people make just now. We pray for Ian Weatherholt as he leaves today for Afghanistan. Lord, for these we name with our lips and these we name in our heart. Heal, help, comfort, encourage. We pray confidently in Jesus' name as he taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue to listen for the good news from this middle chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, which is a collection of parables, just little stories that Jesus told. Most of these are just one or two or three sentences. Short, this one is, well, just listen, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, open our eyes with our ears, all our senses to your mercy and your love. Teach us the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am guessing that someone at your house is the list maker. You need a list maker. Every household needs one. Particularly, you need a list maker if you are going on a trip. If you are going to the beach, you need somebody to check it off. Sunscreen, sun hats, sun glasses, suntan lotion, sunburn lotion, beach blanket, you know, beach umbrella, beach bucket, you need all that. If somebody is going to take their toddler to grandma's for the weekend, man, you need list, I'm telling you. You need a master's degree in logistics, too. Car seat, stroller, high chair, playpen, you know. Binky, blanky, Mr. Bear, wipes. You need, you know. And backup wipes and diapers, all of that. You're going down the aisle? If the trip is just down the aisle to get married, man, caterer, florist, dressmaker, photographer, musician. Let's get a minister, too. You got a lot of something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. You need a list maker. You know, there is a men's backpacking group here at the church, and we go on hikes from time to time. And occasionally somebody new that's never hiked much will go with us, and they'll send out an email. They'll say to the rest of the group, what do I need to bring? And man, that just gives us a chance. They get about 10 lists in. Because everybody has a list, and it's different. Everybody's list is different. Because we have little things that somebody thinks is essential, but somebody else thinks is just dead weight that I'm not going to carry on my back for miles. We have a few guys that would not go anywhere without sort of a 32-blade Swiss Army knife, you know, or a 3.5-pound leather man all-purpose tool. Then we got other guys that they take one little pocket knife, you know, it's got one blade and a nail file, and that's enough. We got some that wouldn't get on the Appalachian Trail without their titanium collapsible camp chair. And then we've got others that say, what? I'm just going to take a black plastic trash bag. I can sit on that. There's one friend I hike with from time to time. He wouldn't go anywhere without his trail espresso coffee maker. I mean, you know, he says, I'm not going there. And you don't think I'm going without extra virgin olive oil, do you? No. We have people that go hiking. They carry 50 pounds or more on their bag. And then we have some, the more minimalist, ultralights, they get by with 18 pounds for 3 or 4 nights. Me, I like to carry about no more than maybe 25 pounds, but I always like to go with Christian guys who carry 50 pounds. That way, you know where I'm going. You forget something, them being Christian, they will be glad to share it with you. And so that Which brings to the point when you go on a when you're leaving to go somewhere, what's more important than what you take is probably who goes with you. Who goes with you? That may be more important than what things you take. I like the old folk tale about this queen who was married to this grumpy old king. He had a nasty temper. And as he often does, one day the king gets mad and angry with the queen and over some small thing. And he says, you cannot be the queen anymore. You got to leave the castle. I want you out of the castle by dark. He has this fit of temper, tells her to leave. And she says, well, I don't have anything but what, you know, you have. He says, you may take a horse and you may take one piece of treasure with you. And she agrees. She says, I will go peacefully, but will you please have a final meal with me? And he agrees. And so they have this dinner. And while he is snipping and sniping and arguing with one of his advisors, she pours a sleeping potion in his cup. And when he is sound asleep, she has the servants wrap him up in a blanket and throw him across her horse. And she leaves and goes into the forest. So the next morning, the king wakes up, his head sticking out of a rolled-up blanket, and the queen is there with a little fire, and she's cooking breakfast. And he says, what has happened? And she said, dear husband, you said all I could take was a horse and one treasure, and you are the greatest treasure I have. Well, as the story goes, the king immediately realizes what a bad husband he has been and what a good wife he has. And he puts her back on the horse and escorts her back to the castle. And he's a better king, kinder and better. You know, for whatever reason, it's the people we choose to go through life with that are probably more important than the things. Jesus raises the question through this little parable about what is essential? What's the thing for which we would give everything? He tells about this pearl merchant who comes across a magnificent pearl. And he sells all of his stock to buy that one. If you own a pearl today, it is probably, unless you inherited it, it's probably a cultured pearl. That means that it was farmed probably in Indonesia, Japan, now more in China. They take a tiny, tiny bit of shell and they put it inside a living oyster, and that little creature, you know, gets irritated and surrounds it with this sort of calcium carbonate slime, and it smooths over the irritant and makes it to a pearl. But in Jesus' day, pearls were naturally occurring things. I mean, it was this amazing, mysterious gift that you know, it just happened, and it happened rarely. They say it might take a diver bring up 2 or 3 tons of shells to get one good pearl. And so to have a large one or a specially round one or a perfect one was just this amazing, astonishing gift. You know, unprovoked by a human in Jesus' day. And so he dares us to imagine what would be so essential, so wonderful, so valuable, such a treasure that we would give anything else to get it. Well, the answer to the question he poses is given. He says it at the very first. He says, what is the most precious thing is what he calls in Matthew the kingdom of heaven. In Luke and Mark, it's called the kingdom of God. Same thing. In Matthew, it's just referred to as the kingdom of heaven. All of Jesus' stories, you know, are about this. I mean, they most of them begin, the kingdom of heaven is like. That's the theme of Jesus' teaching and preaching, this kingdom of heaven. First, we need to understand it's not, even though it's called the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew, it doesn't simply and only refer to heaven, as in after this life. It includes that, but it's so much more. It's more subtle than that. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is this rule, reign, sphere of influence of God in our life, in our world. Now, it's almost like the force field of God. The God in us and around us and between us. It's the movement of God, the vibration of God in all the world and all our life. There's a song we sing sometimes. It's Prayer of St. Patrick. Well, we sing it more in the traditional service, but it's this chorus, and it's got Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me. That's the kingdom. The kingdom, this presence of God, indwelling presence. In John's gospel, it's called the Spirit. In John's gospel, they don't use the language of kingdom of God, maybe only once or twice. But in John, it's Spirit that permeates and infuses and surrounds. Jesus saying that is what you need. That's what you need. That's the best thing. God's life embedded in your life. Your life interpenetrated by God's life. That's the essential thing. That's the greatest thing. That's the best thing. Other things are important. For example, we need a place to live. You need tools to do your work, whatever that is, whatever you need to do your work. And you need some food and you need some clothing. Those are all important. We need some beauty in our life, by the way. You know, the Bible, it says when God created the world at the very beginning, it says He made the plants and everything that was good for food and beautiful to look at. God knew we needed beautiful things. So that's right in there from the beginning. So we need that, but we also need people. We know they're important. We need people to love and people who will love us and put up with us. The thing is that there comes a time when those things will be separated from us. What's the old sort of little quip? There are no trailer hitches on hearses. Yeah. We're not going to take it with us. And there comes a time when those we choose to travel through life with will be separated from us. Either we will die or they will die. But here's the thing. Even though we will be separated from things, and even though we will be separated from people, what is it that we will not be separated from? You answer that question several times a day, I bet. If you ever have used the word goodbye, since about the 1500s, people who spoke English, some of your ancestors weren't even talking English in 1500. They were talking all kind of other languages from around the world. Well, goodbye in English, it's a contraction, abbreviation, you know, of God be with you. God be with you. That's what goodbye is. We implicitly know when somebody leaves our presence, God be with you. God be with you. That's the one thing we can't do without. We make our list about what we're going to take and what we're going to leave. One day we'll leave everything. So what we need then is something that will not leave us. Someone that will not leave us. what we need more than anything else is this presence, this force field of God in our life. And here is the good news. For some mysterious purpose, on reasons unknown to us, God wants that for us often more than we want it. The testimony of the Scriptures is that God wants to be in our lives probably more than we want God in our lives. God made this world in such an amazing way in us. We come into this world with nothing except we've been imprinted with the image of God. Genesis says it's the breath of God in us. That's what we come into the world with. And when we leave, we have that presence of God with us. Paul in Romans 8 says, there is nothing in life, there is nothing in death. Neither life nor death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God has so wonderfully arranged this world that the thing we need and cannot manufacture on our own and cannot make, God gives it to us. It has already been given to us as a gift. And since it has been given to us as a gift, it's grace, pure grace. The symbol for that that Jesus chooses among many, he talks about seeds and he talks about birds and he talks about flowers, but he talks about pearls. And I think that is an amazing image. Think about that. A pearl is the result of difficulty or irritation, pain. But it is transformed into something beautiful. That little oyster just puts that gunk on that irritation and it becomes smooth and shiny. You know, that's really the story of Jesus. His life, most of the story is about pain. And it's about suffering. And it's about, the world thinks, his apparent annihilation. Got rid of that guy. But then it's this glorious resurrection story. He comes back beautifully resurrected. And he tells us, what happened to me will happen to you. It will happen to you. In the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, our hurts, our losses, our sufferings, our resentments, our irritations can be changed, smoothed, polished, even into something beautiful. The worst can be turned into life. It turns out the pearl of great price in the story is Jesus. He's the pearl of great price. Our guide, our master, our friend, our Lord, who is with us in this life and is with us in all the lives there are to come after this one. Our Lord who, while we are here in this life, will save us from wasting our life. And as we are in this life, he prepares us for the one to come. And whenever we consent for him to be with us, he consents to be with us. He does not bully us. He is the one who is already with us. And yet when we consent to be with him, when we open our lives to it, when through things like prayer and worship and service to others and sharing and study of the Scriptures and all the things that Christians do, we're not bringing a God into our life who wasn't there already. We are opening ourselves through Christian spiritual practices to this one who is there with us. And by his wonderful presence, will turn us into something beautiful if we will permit Him to do. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, You who love us more than we can imagine, You who love us more than we love ourselves, You whose presence is around us and in us and before us, You who with patience wait for us to wake up to You, give us more and more moments when we get it, when we see, when we know, when we give thanks, when we are aware of Your presence with us. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord and serve Him. Render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.